Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 10, because that's where we're going to be at today. And we got to go back a couple weeks to remember what we talked about last time we were in 1 John. And last time we were in 1 John, we talked about this topic of our adoption into the family of God and why it's so important in John's discussion of how believers live and what believers sort of look like. Because our adoption causes us, transforms us into what we are supposed to be in Jesus. It's in the, and we're in the midst of that transformation right now. And John doesn't want us to get the cart before the horse. It's not that our actions have brought us into our adoption, but our adoption that is at work in us to make us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And having understood that, we then understand that all the things that John's talking about, that believers walk in the light as he is in the light, and all the things that believers do are not mandatory works that they have to do to be accepted by God and into the fellowship of the church, but rather signs that they have already been adopted into the family. And we talked a lot about that, coming to the conclusion last time that what John is telling us is that those who are adopted into the family of God live lives where they walk in the light like Jesus. But obviously these two things, walking in the light and being like Jesus, are very broad topics. And we're in the midst of our transformation. So in many ways, many of us can say, well, I can see that in many ways I walk in light, but then there's these things. Or in some ways I'm like Jesus, in some ways I am not like Jesus. We can probably all say that. But in this next passage, the passage we're dealing with today, John boils it down and gives us one piece of evidence as to whether we have been adopted into the family of God. So if you're asking that question, am I a child of God? You get to answer that question today. And John's one piece of evidence is whether or not we love one another. John says this in the second half of verse 10 in chapter 3. Whoever does not do what is right is not of God, especially the one who does not love his brother. We talked a lot about the last time about doing right and what that means. A lifestyle that reflects Christ. Reflecting our ongoing transformation as God is at work in us. The children of God walk in light, not perfectly, and because they can't do it perfectly, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cover their sins and cleanse them from all unrighteousness. But they are opposite from, as John describes them, children of the devil, who live lives lost in wrath, seeking to sin on an ongoing basis. This is the other side. And these are the people who aren't of God, and they don't do, as John puts it, what is right. And they do not, especially do not, love their brothers. But let's ask a question. Why is love for one another such an important piece of evidence that we can look at it and we can say, am I a child of God or not? Well, John explains that. He goes on in verse 11, he says, for this is the message you have heard from the beginning, we should love one another. Now, when John says, this is the message you have heard from the beginning, he's pointing back to when they received the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. When they received the gospel from that beginning point, they were told that they should love one another. And so if we're going to understand how the command fits into our spiritual life, we have to go back to the gospel, right? And this is a command of Jesus. This is his command. He says, a new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. By this, the world will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So Jesus gives them the command, love one another. He tells them how to do it, as I have loved you. And then he tells them, this is a sign to the world that you are mine, that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that's in John 13. And then in John 14, Jesus goes on and he explains to us, if you love me, you will keep my commands. And so if we love one another, we are in fact reflecting our ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ, because we are loving him. And if we love Jesus Christ, then we are children of God. That's what Jesus himself says in John 8:42, he says, if God were your father, speaking to the Israelites before him, you would love me because I came from God and I am here. So if you were God's children, you will love Jesus. If you love Jesus, you will keep his commandments. And if you keep his commandments, then you will love one another. And so whether or not we love one another is an indication of our own spiritual lives. If we don't love one another, then we don't keep Jesus' commandments, which means we don't love him, which means we are not part of his family. That's the line that John is drawing. And he goes on, because not only is it a sign for us of our spiritual lives, but it's also completely absent from the other side, that other house, the children of the devil. He goes on, unlike Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. Now, you guys probably know the story of Cain and Abel, how both of them brought a sacrifice to God. But only Abel's sacrifice was glorifying to God, and God blessed Abel and he didn't bless Cain. And Cain was jealous, and God warned Cain, Cain, sin is crouching at the door. Don't do it. But Cain ignored God, and he murdered his brother. He is the first murderer in recorded history because he struck down his brother. But the fact that he is of the evil one and that he murdered his brother are connected truths. Cain is part of that other house, those children of the devil, as John calls them. And what does Jesus say about the children of the devil? If you turn your Bibles to John 8:44, he says this, "You are of your father the devil," speaking to his audience, "and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and when he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature, because he is a liar and the father of liars." So Jesus is looking at his audience, and he identifies them as these sort of spiritual children of the devil, these children of wrath. And he explains, based on that, they simply do naturally what their spiritual father desires to do. And what does the devil do? But hate and destroy. And so they hate and destroy. The fact that Cain murdered Abel isn't so surprising if we understand that Cain is simply taking after his own spiritual heritage. He's modeling his own spiritual father. He's doing what is very natural for him when he kills Abel. And why does Cain kill Abel? John simply summarizes it as this: because his works were evil and his brothers were righteous. And by their works, they demonstrate which side of this conflict they're on. Cain is of the evil one. He does what the evil one does, and his works are evil. Abel isn't. Abel seeks to glorify God. And he does righteous things. And because he does righteous things, that pits them against each other. Because these two houses, they oppose each other. There's a natural animosity between them. Ever since the devil rebelled, a spiritual war has been waging. And these two houses are what's pitted against each other. And one house loves the children of God, but the other house hates and murders. So love for one another is a trait of the children of God. It's absent from the world, real biblical love for one another. And because of that, John can say this. If you go to verse 14, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers." We can know that we have spiritual, eternal life if we look at our lives and see a reflection of Jesus Christ and that we love one another. But on the other side, the one who does not love remains in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. So John draws this line for us. There's these two households. The children of the devil, the children of God. One hates, one loves. One murders and persecutes the other one, and the other one is persecuted. But the one that hates and murders remains in death. And the one who loves his brothers and sisters has eternal life. That's what John tells us. Because they're inheriting these traits from their own spiritual fathers. And we can understand this when we think about how we grew up. Because if you go back to your childhood, you can start to pick out things that you think a certain way, or do a certain thing, or say a certain thing, simply because you learned it from your parents. We all have them. If you pause and think, there's always these things that we're like, I don't know why I believe that. I was just told I believe that from a very young age. As a Hornberger, because that's my last name, my grandfather used to tell us, for most people, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong. for Hornburgers, if it can go wrong, it will go wrong spectacularly. I have no idea why. But as a child, I grew up believing that, and that has had some profound impact on my life. Like, I check the stove 3 times before I leave the house. Because if I don't, it will catch the house on fire, and it'll be gone. You know, that's just, you know, why do I do that? Because I'm just expecting something to go wrong spectacularly. You know, something to just blow up, basically. And because of that, we're always prepared for the weirdest of disasters. I have no idea why, except for the fact that we have been trained throughout our childhoods to believe things are always about to fall apart. And, you know, we all have these things. They come back from our parents, who probably received a lot of these things from their parents, and they've just been passed down. And this works the same way on a spiritual level. The lost of this world, born into sin and death, were born into the household of the devil because he rules this world. And they have inherited their way of thinking from their spiritual father. So why do they hate? Because it's all they know to do. But when we were adopted into the family of God, that changed. God started to transform us, and one of the things he started to change was that issue. No longer do we hate one another, but God has taught us to love one another, not only to love one another, but how to love one another through his son, Jesus Christ. And so we see clearly then that this one trait, this love for one another, is either a reason for us to have extreme confidence. If we reflect on our lives and we see it, we can go, hey, I am a child of God. That is awesome. That is good news. But if we don't see it in our lives, not just like 1 or 2 times where we messed up, because we all do that, but if it's just completely absent and we look at our lives and we go, where is my love for my brothers and sisters? That is cause for concern. Because the children of God love one another. Always. That is their natural trait. But it's not just any kind of love. John wants us to understand what love really looks like before we start looking for it in our own lives. Because this world has a ton of different concepts for what love may look like. But the Bible only has one. And he explains it this way. If you go down to verse 16, he says, this is how we have come to know love. He laid down his life for us. How do we know love? Because Jesus came and he looked at his disciple and he says, no greater love has any man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And then what does Jesus do? He goes and he lays down his life for his friends. But not just his friends at the present, for all those who would become his friends throughout all of the ages up until the end comes. Because Jesus died to make his enemy his friend. And that's what it's actively doing. Jesus demonstrates to us what love looks like, and love looks like sacrifice. Because love takes sacrifice. If anything about, if the cross teaches us anything about love, it's this, that love is not going to be convenient. Okay? It wasn't convenient for Jesus to go to the cross. He wasn't up there having a good time. It was miserable, but he did it anyway. And so if convenience is the thing that we get caught up on when we go to love others and we say, you know, I would if it was convenient, well, then we don't actually love at all. That's what John tells us in the next verse. If anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need but closes his eyes to his need, how can God's love reside in him? That's not how God loves. And so John just calls us out in a very practical way and says, if you see your brothers and sisters in Christ in need and you have the means to fix that problem and you don't, how are you showing the love of God? Because love is sacrificial and love is practical. And next, his next point, love takes action. Read on, verse 18. Little children, we must not love with word or speech. Now, John's not saying you can't say nice things to one another. He's saying love can't stop there. And we probably can all think about times where we've stopped there. We said something nice and encouraging, but we didn't go beyond. Little children, we must not love with word or speech, but with truth and action. Now, action is what love does. Love takes action. It addresses needs. It sacrifices for others. Truth is the manner in which love does it. Because love does not help others in any hypocritical way or for any effort of self-gain. It just does. It's genuine. It's true. And so that's what love looks like. And so we've learned two things from John today. First, very importantly, if we're asking the question we've been asking throughout the entire book of John, how do we know we are children of God and have fellowship with him? John has just boiled it down to this question. Do we love one another? Does our lives reflect a Christ-like love for others, for our fellow believers, for his disciples? And a genuine Christ-like love, a real one, a love that isn't concerned with what it takes and what it costs, but does it anyway. Because that is the kind of love that Christ demonstrates to us. And we can ask ourselves, and we can all reflect. And that's our first challenge today, to reflect. Because we all need to ask ourselves this question. We've been asking ourselves each time we go through a section of 1 John, is that me? Do I see that? So ask yourselves, reflect. Does my life display the love of Christ to my brothers and sisters? And if no, then here's your second challenge. To receive Jesus Christ. Because John has just told us, this is the trait of God's children. This is natural for those who have received Jesus. And if it's not there, the solution is not, oh, I need to do better. Because that doesn't fill what's missing. You need the adoption. And so if you're looking at your life and asking, and saying, you know, I don't see it. We want to invite you to receive Jesus Christ, but that involves accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we want to walk you through that. So if that's you today, we want to invite you to come up after the service, talk to either me or Pastor Glenn, so we can walk you through that, so that you can make a knowledgeable decision. Second, if you look at your life and you say, I did see it, but I don't really see it right now. Now's a good time to repent. To go back to your Father in heaven and say, you know, I think I've gotten off track. And I want to encourage you to do that today. But if your answer is yes, if you're like, hey, yeah, I see that. And we as a church see this a lot. Fortunately, this is a moment where I can encourage you guys. Because over the last 6 months, our church has been hit with tragedy after tragedy after tragedy, right? And our church's constant response has been sacrificial love. You know, whether it's, you know, cleaning up houses, helping people move, getting up early in the morning to transport people back and forth from work when they couldn't transport themselves, hospital visits and everything. Our church has stepped out big time. And that demonstrates to us something very important, that we are the children of God because we live like it. We have that sign, that evidence for us, and that's awesome. And my encouragement to those of you who say, yeah, I do see it, rejoice. That's exciting. You are children of God. You could not be in a better family because God is your spiritual father, and there is no better father. You know, this is the God who has shown grace and mercy to bring us back into his family, so that he can continue for all of eternity to show us grace and mercy and love and a loving relationship that we now have with him. You can't really top that. And so rejoice, but also commit. Okay? Because if you love Jesus and you want to love Jesus more and more every day, love one another with all you've got. Don't worry about convenience. Don't worry about the cost. Because those things are irrelevant. We serve an almighty God. And he takes care of those things. And so let us commit today to doing those things. And let's pray for this and for our offering. Lord God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word, for it teaches us the truth. We thank you for the body, for in it we find love, both for one another and for ourselves. We give you the glory, for you have founded this body on your sacrifice, the cross of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Father, that you would guide us as we reflect upon our own lives, asking this question: does my life reflect the love of God? And that you would guide us in the direction you would have us go based on that answer. Father, we give you the glory for what you have done, for what you will do. And we ask that you bless this offering, that you would use it to do great and wonderful and mighty things. In your most holy and precious name, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.